Okay, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yudalit. We did this last week. We're going to do it again. We're going to do the Rashi. We're going to try to do the Rashi today and discuss some of the issues. So we are in the middle of discussing the two creatures, the two animals which Daniel sees, which refer to the Malchus of Modai Uparas and the Malchus of Yavon. And then, in discussing the Malchus of Yavon, he sees there's one horn, then that one horn turns into four horns, and then the one of the four horns turns into, there's a little horn which comes out of one of the four horns, which we are learning, according to Rashi, at least for the moment, refers to Rome. Rome develops, emerges out of Yavon, and that is the fourth Malchus, and they will dominate the world, and they will subjugate Klal Yisrael, and they will be given permission to, as we learned very simply, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and replace the Tamid with an Avodah Zarah. And then, Vayomer Elai, and the Malach tells Daniel, even though the conversation was between two Malachim, the Malach says to Daniel, this will continue to exist, Pasuk Yudal, Perechez, Pasuk Yudal, and Ad, Erev Boker, until evening morning, Alpayim Ushlosh Meos, for 2,300, does not say years, doesn't say the word Shanim. Then Vinitzta Kodesh, and then the Kodesh, which according to Rashi, according to the Mesudas, and the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, will receive justice. Okay, so let's go through the Rashi. Let's go through it slowly. Now, I want to warn you, I don't know how to read all the words of Rashi. If you would ask me, I'm sure I'm wrong, there are missing words in Rashi. Some of the Rashi, towards the end of the Rashi, it's extremely difficult to read, to connect the words. I've tried my best, I looked in the English translations, and I've read the commentaries. I don't know how to translate, to read the words towards the end of Rashi. So either I just don't know how to do it, which is probably 99% sure, or maybe the text has become corrupt. It's not right to say that, but I do not know. So we'll just do the best that we can to get the flavor of what Rashi is saying. So let's start. Okay, Vayomer Pasuk Yudal, Al Erev Boker, until Erev, that this will continue to exist, this little horn will have power to dominate the world, and Klal Yisrael, until Erev Boker, Al Payim Ushlosh Meos, 2,300. Reisi Peser, an interpretation. Peser means an interpretation. B'shem Rabbeinu Sagyo Ledovar. I've seen an interpretation for these very cryptic words. Erev Boker 2,300, in the name of Sagya Gon. And Sagya is coming, obviously, to give a calculation of when this will come to an end. Ukvarova. And that time has already passed. So according to Sagya Gon, Mashiach already has already come. Which obviously he has not. And therefore, Ukvar Osar, Uposar Od, and he interprets also at Erev Boker, at Sheyovo. Part of his interpretation is when it says the words Erev Boker, it means at Sheyovo also ho Erev Shenemar Bo. There's another pasuk that makes mention of the word Erev Shenemar Bo ho Yileis Erev. At the time of evening, Yihi Yor, there will be light, and that means. And that refers to the time of Mashiach. There's a reference in Yeshaya, I believe it's in Yeshaya, at the time of evening there will be light. It refers to the Geula, that before the Geula comes there will be a time of darkness, Ikfasod Mashiach, which Chazal tells us will be a very difficult period of time in history when there will be great suffering. We have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the words of the prophets will be established forever. Lo yufar, and it will not be annulled. So what Rashi here is saying is that it appears that Rav Sadia Gaon was, I don't know if it's correct to say incorrect, but Rav Sadia Gaon's time has passed, his interpretation has passed, and we were not fortunate that his interpretation should be the meaning of the pasuk in the most literal sense for the coming of Mashiach. And we discussed this last week, 2 weeks ago, that there are many interpretations, they're all MS, they all represent times that are an Eis Ratzon, a time of divine favor, where if we would merit, Mashiach would come, but we have to merit, and those times of favor.
In other words, we didn't Barrett.
Correct.
That's it.
No. So it means now we have to reinterpret the word. The words are open to multiple interpretations. There can be 100 different ways to interpret these words. The words are purposely cryptic. They're purposely hidden. Because there are 100 ways to interpret the words. And any one of these ways can be true. And they're all true in the sense that they're a time of divine favor, which, as we explain, means we don't need the full degree of tshuva to bring Mashiach, even if we'll do tshuva on a lower level. Normally, if we want to bring Mashiach before its proper time, we would have to do tshuva on a scale of 1 to 10, 10. But being that these are not necessarily impossible, it's not impossible. If everyone today in Klal Yisrael would get up and do tshuva, for real, would be sincere in doing tshuva, Mashiach would come today. That's what Chazal tell us. Hayoim im b'koloi tishmo. But if we're not going to do tshuva, then and if no one does tshuva, we just sit back and do nothing, then Mashiach will come at the end of days. When is the end of days? We don't even know when that is. Supposedly the year 6000. We don't know what the year 6000 is. Rabbi Reisen, once gave a shir, he went through about 10 different times in history where in Klal Yisrael, where there was a time. There was a set time, and segments of the population made calculations when that time was, and they acted upon that time, and a korban came. Like, go back to the earliest time of the Shevet of Ephraim. They made a calculation of when the 400 years are over. There was a gzera, Yodaya Ateide, Kiger Yezarecha, Be'eretz, Loilohem, Avodim, Ino Yosam, Arba, Me'oshana. They made a calculation of when the 400 years came to an end. They decided now is the time for Geula, and they picked themselves up and they left Mitzrayim. And what happened? They were slaughtered. The Egyptians chased after them and they killed them. Oh, but they made a calculation. They were wrong. The calculation was incorrect. So just because we think we have a tradition in the Sifrei Kabbalah that Mashiach is going to come before the year 6000, who says we know what that means? What does it mean exactly 6000? We know how to calculate 6000. We don't know what these things mean. But whatever the point, whatever it is, here is a calculation, 2300. Let me go take a step back. We're going to get to this. There are really three calculations in Sefer Daniel. There's what we're learning over here in Perek Ches, 2300. We learned in Perek Zayin the number 1335. And in Perek Yud Aleph, or Yud Beis, there is another calculation, last Perek Yud Beis, another calculation of 1000. I forgot the number. We'll come to it in Rashi. 1,900. And I forgot the number. We'll have another number. There are three numbers. Rashi, as we're going to see in a few moments, is going to try to synchronize all three numbers. But these numbers don't necessarily mean that there are many ways to interpret these numbers. And each one of these ways just tells us it's a time of divine favor if we do tshuva. Even on a very small, a very minimum level, then we will be able to bring the geula before the end of days. That's all it means. And Rav Sadia Gaon made a calculation in his time, in his lifetime, that Mashiach is mesugel to come. Every generation, you have a right to make the calculation, to work out for your generation, to give you something to hope for, in order to do tshuva, to bring the geula in your lifetime. And if Chas V'Shalma does not come, so there's another interpretation. Let's go to the next generation. Let's go to the next time. There's a time of divine favor. So here Rashi points out that Rav Sadia Gaon made a calculation and his time has passed, and then Rashi goes on to say, so what? It doesn't mean anything. Even though Rav Sadia Gaon, he was from the greatest of the great, still Kidvar Elokeinu Yakum Le'olam, Hashem's words will be fulfilled. That's a guarantee. Lo Yufar, and it will never be annulled. So do not lose faith in the fact that the time of Rav Sadia has passed and Mashiach has not yet come. Vani Yomer. Now Rashi goes on, so therefore I'm going to give you a new calculation. And we know Rashi's calculations consist in the three parakim where there are numbers, in Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, and Perek Yud Aleph. Rashi's number comes out to the year 13, the secular year of 1399 of the Common Era. So Vani Oimer, let's just see how Rashi makes this calculation. When it says he will come Erev and Boker, it doesn't mean only like Rav Sadia Gaon, it means referring to the time of Mashiach. Erev Boker. This pasuk in Yeshaya, at the time of Erev there will be darkness, the time of Mashiach, but it's something more. It refers to a number. There is a gematria. Take the gematria of the word Erev Boker and add that to the year to add that to the number 2,300 that's mentioned in the pasuk. It's meant to be used as a number. It's a code for a number. Number one, I know that I'm right for two reasons. Number one, because after I tell you what this means, which we're going to see in a few moments, I take the number 2,300. I add the number. What's the number? Unfortunately, I didn't bring with me my my numbers. I left a certain safe. I have all the calculations, but after we add the numbers, we'll see in a few moments. It will come out. It will be synchronized with what it says in Perek Yud Beis and with what it says in Perek Zayin. That's how I know that Erev Boker refers to a gematria. Ubeis number two. Shama Gavriel Daniel Lamata Beinyan. When Gavriel says in this parak, at the end of the parak, Gavriel is going. We're going to review everything we've learned so far. These first 14 psukim is going to basically be repeated again in the second half of this parak, and the Malach Gavriel will provide the middle interpretation. Beinyanu Maria Ha'erev Haboiker Asher Nemar MSC. The vision of this thing called Erev Uboker, which was said as MS. The Imloy Ramas Hacheshben Hu, the Imloy Ramas Hacheshben Hu Talui, and if there is no calculation, Gzuntait, that is mentioned here in these words, Erboker, Lomar Chozar Vekofel Oso Lomar MSU. Why would Gavriel the Malach emphasize this to Daniel? If it's just referring to Mashiach, the time of Mashiach, of course, that's the topic of discussion. There's no need for Gavriel to tell Daniel, it's MS, it's precise. By emphasizing Erev Avoker, obviously there's something deeper, not just a period of Geula. The Chayzer refers to the one who sees the vision, Daniel, who is seeing the vision, Nitztava, was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of it's not told us what happened exactly. Listoim v'lachtoim hadavar, to conceal, to hide it. It's not meant to be known. We don't want people to know when Mashiach will really come, because it's something where Hashem has His reasons. It's hidden from man. It's only meant for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'af hu lo nigla b'loshen sasum b'chasat. Some of these words, I don't know how to translate these words, how they flow together. V'yaf hu lo nigla, and even seemingly it means, even to Daniel it appears that it was not fully revealed. B'loshen sasum v'chasom, and it was told to him in words which are concealed. The Anu Noichil, we have nothing more than to yearn. One of the 13 principles of faith, Animan Bemun Shlema, Vias HaMashiach, Vi Avopit Sheyisman, Meya Imkol Zehagli B'chol Yom Sheyavo, The Anu Noichil, we yearn, Laftochas Malkeinu, for the promise of our King. We yearn for Hashem's promise that He will one day come and redeem us, and the Gula will be here. Kates Achar Kates, one time period after another time period. In other words, every single generation, people come along and make the calculations, and then what happens? The time passes, the kates passes, and then we go to the next time, the next calculation. Uva'avor ha-kates ha-darish, and after the time period which has been elucidated, which has been clarified and has been sought, and after that year passes, noida, it's known, kita b'midrashav, we know that the past time was a mistake, was incorrect, was an error, and now we have to go v'habo achrav yitar v'yidrosh derech acheres, and the next generation will come later and reinterpret the words of these psukim of 2,300 plus the gematria of Erev Boker in connection with what it says in Perek Zayin 1,335, in connection with what it says, the other calculation which it says in the end of Sefer, I think it's 1,290 in the end of Sefer, in Perek Yud Beis, and we'll make a new calculation to figure out when Mashiach will come. Yitar v'yidrash derech acheres. Period. Now he comes to explain. Yesh lifter. Therefore, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to be one of those people, Rashi says. I'm going to give you a new calculation for our generation. generation. Now, the truth is not really for his generation, because Rashi, as we said many times, lived in the year, died in the year 1105, and Rashi's calculation that was not true until the year 1399, more than 200 years later. So Rashi is giving calculation for people, the people that they can yearn for something, at least in his time. The Erev Uboker, Bigamatria, Hey Meos, 500, Veshivim, the Arba, 574. The Oyen, add that to what the Pasuk is implicitly, Elef, Lushlosh Meos, 2300, Hari Alpayim, 2000, the Ches Meos, 800, the Ayin Dalid, and 74. So we have to remember this number, 2000. 800 and 74 is the number that Rashi is giving, and that's what it means over here in this pasuk when we add the words, Erev Avoker, which is Bigmatria 574. We add that to 2,300. We get a total of 2,874. When that year comes, and we're going to see what that year refers to, V'nikdash Kodesh, that means Yechupar Avon Yisrael, the sins of the Jewish people will be forgiven. Levatal Gzeres Midrasan Umnir Pasan. No longer will the nations of the world be allowed to trample and step upon the Jewish people. Me'oz Galu. Now, when is this time? So here he begins. Me'oz Galu Galus Rishayna. This number begins from the first Galus. When is the first Galus? When Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim during the time of the famine, when there was nothing to eat. So Yaakov Yishamati Yeshever b'Mitzrayim. They went down to Mitzrayim. They met up with the Mishnah Lamelech Yosef in disguise, and then Yosef told his brothers, bring your father down to Mitzrayim. End of Parshas Vayichi. They came down to Egypt. How many people came down? 70 people. And how long were they there in Egypt for? For 210 years. 86 of those years were Avodas Perach, hard crushing labor, but the beginning years it was peaceful. Me'oz galu galus rishayna l'mitzrayim ad yigalu v'yoshiyanu, until Hashem will redeem us, teshuas olamim, a salvation that will be eternal. B'melech mishichenu, with the Melech HaMashiach, will be exactly 2,874 years. And if you go from this Hebrew year, from the time they went down to Egypt until you go for the 2,874 years, according to Rashi, it comes out to the year 1399. The Cheshbon Zer Kol L'Soif, this came to an end, Elef, 1,000. The Reish Tzadi, this is 1,290. Miyoim Husar HaTomid, from the time the Tomid came to an end. Now, why is that number critical? This number, here Rashi is coming to synchronize many things. Here we go. Yeah, this is all you have to remember. There are three numbers. The number 1290 appears in Perek Yud Beis. Okay, that's what appears. 1290. Here in this Perek Ches, we just finished. The number 2874. And what did we learn back in Perek Zion? 1335. There are three numbers. Now let me just tell it to you a little bit outside before we go forward. The first thing to remember is the difference between 1,335, what it says in Perek Zayin, and the number 1,290 that it says in Perek Yud Beis is 45. What's the significance of 45? So Rashi, when we get to that very short, tell it to you outside before we see the words inside, is the 45. What happened? The 45 means it geula is a process. There's a medrash, Rashi just explains this. I never heard this before. So this Rashi, Mashiach will appear at this time of 1290 years, which from the time it came to an end, and then he will disappear for 45 years. The second coming. There will be a second coming of Mashiach. Mashiach will appear on the scene, and the Geula process will begin, and we'll say, see you later guys, I'm out of here, I'll be back soon. He'll disappear for 45 years. 45 years later, he will reappear, and that will conclude the process of Gula. Now, how does all of this fit in line with the Melech Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David? I have no idea. But this is just something else to keep in mind, to put into this big mystery of what's going to happen B'mos HaMashiach, at least according to Rashi. So basically, we've already bridged two of the numbers. Basically, as far as we're concerned, this number 1290 and the number 1335 is the same. Okay, so what it says in Perek Zayin 1335, and when it says in Perek Yud Beis 1290 is the same, because that refers to the number of years from the time the Talmid has come to an end. Now, when has the Talmid come to an end? 6 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni lasted for 420 years. It was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era, which means the Talmud came to an end in the year 64. So calculate 1,335 years from 1,335 years from the year 64 is the year 1399. Go back 45 years is when the number 1,000. So what's, you tell me, what's 1,399 minus 45
is
1354. 1354. So 1354 is really when Mashiach comes. Based on Mashiach, 1354. According to Rashi, obviously it passed. Okay, I'm not that already. According to Rashi, passed. But that's according to Rashi. What? What?
Historically speaking, was there
what happened during that time? I do not know. I looked.
Which community was it like?
In the year 1399, I just looked online. I was curious very quickly for 10 seconds. In the year, I found a site, all the different pogroms and expulsions and tsaros. A very, very thorough list of all the different tsaros of Klal Yisrael. And it just says in the year 1339, Jews, the first time Jews were tortured in Poland. Okay, Jews were tortured all along, since the Korban, all over in Rome, and all over the world. But Poland, this was a new front. Jews only were living in Poland, it seems, for not such a long time. 1399, they arrived in Poland not long ago. I don't know the exact details. I mean, Poland obviously became the last 300 years, 200-300 years. I mean, that's where a good part of Ashkenazic Jewry, they live in Poland. But that's only since the 1600s, 1700s. But 1399, who was living in Poland? I don't know. I don't know much about Jewish history. But it says in the history accounts that it was a very bad year for Jewish people in Poland that year. Jews were burnt. I don't say they were expelled from Poland, but they were burnt alive. So I don't know more than that. But in the year 1354... So that's how we're going to match up those two numbers. Let's go slow. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era. Go back 6 years, 64. That's when the Talmud came to an end. And by the way, how do we know that? We don't. Rashi is going to say here, Rashi is part of the Rashi. We're going to read soon Rashi. We'll try to figure out the words of the Rashi. We really don't know that. There is no solid source that it was 6 years before. Rashi makes a calculation that the Talmud came to an end 6 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni.
It was a tailor that was put in the...
It's okay, but how do we... Rashi makes it, but it doesn't say anywhere we know for a fact. Whatever it is, but Rashi makes this calculation. So now, Rashi says, from time to time it came to an end, we have two psukim, one pasuk here in Perek, And not even dealing with Perek Ches. We're dealing first with Perek Zayin and the Perek Yud Beis. And the year, it says, from the time the Talmud came to an end until the time when the Gula will come, will be a number. It doesn't say even years. We're adding the word years. That's also part of the problem. Will be 1290. That takes us to the year 1354. Rashi then says another tremendous chiddush. That's when the Melech HaMashiach will appear. He will begin a process of Geula. He will then disappear for 45 years and return 45 years later in the year 1399, according to Rashi's calculation, and that's when it will be the number 1335, as mentioned in Perek Zayin, and that will conclude the process of Geula. Now, the year 12, it happens to be that the year, I'm already getting confused, that one of these 2 years, but let's assume now for the, let's just assume for the moment, the year 1335 also happens to be exactly 2,874 years from the time that Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. I'm going to make that calculation here. So let's go to that calculation. Beyond the Cheshvan Zekol L'Soif Elef 1,000 V'Reish Sadi 1,290. That number is a very critical number because that number is the third number that appears in this Sefer in Perek Beis. Meyoyim Husar Hatamid. Which number of Sefer? That's what it says in the Sefer. What does the pasuk there say? Me'eis Husar Hatamid Kidei. From the time the Tamid has ceased, Kidei Litain Shikut Shemaim, and it was replaced by this detestable silent stone of Avodah Zarah. Yamim here means days, which we interpret to mean years, according to Rashi. Elef 1,000 Vereish Sadi 290 Yihyev Lo Yoser. Sheyavai HaMelech Mishichenu, the Melech HaMashiach will come, the Yosser will remove Shikutz HaShemim, will remove this abomination, the Avodah Zarah. The Atamid Ha'hu, so the Atamid was removed, Rashi points out, Vav Shan Lufnei Chorben, by Sheni, 6 years before the year 70, Vehem Itzelim Hechel, and what day was that? That we know from the Gemara, V'yom Yud Zayim B'Tammuz Ha'ya, that was on the same day as the 17th day of Tammuz when we fast. So what else happened on that day? There were 5 things that happened on that day. And one of the things that happened on that day was, Shesaraf Apostamus Es HaTorah, the Sefer Torah was burnt. Ubatulas Atamid Vehem Itzelim, and Rashi comes in and says, by the way, this that I said it's 6 years, I really no source for this. One thing I do know for sure, that it was not bottle for a complete 7 years. A shua means a Shemitah cycle. I am certain that the Talmud was not bottled for a complete Shemitah cycle from the Beis HaMikdash with Nechorben, Shekin Niba Daniel Altitos, because we have another prophecy, a late Perek Tes, in the next Perek, the Chatzi HaShavua Yeshiva Zevach U'Mincha, Kloimar, it says half of a cycle. Now, the word Chatzi literally means half. However, Rashi here says that Chatzi should not necessarily be interpreted literally as half means part. Part of a Shemitah cycle, it will be bottle, Kloimar, Mixas HaShavua Shalifnei HaKorban, part of a cycle before the chumah bottle, hakarbanos kach mafurish lamata beinyan. Now that's what it says before. So Rashi again, I'm not. Rashi is very. The Rashi is very choppy. I don't know where to put the commas in the pin, but the basic theme Rashi here says that it's we're going to make the calculation when the time it stopped, and the time it stopped 6 years before the Chorban. I don't have a concrete proof exactly it was 6 years, but one thing I am certain, it was not a complete 7 years because it says Mixas HaShavua and Chatzi HaShavua, and Chatzi does not mean half. Chatzi means part of the Shavua. So part of the Shavua, I am assuming here, means 6 years. 6 of the 7. Now Nachzer Al HaRishonah. So Rashi, now let's go back and let's review, go back to the calculation. Kesad Mechuvin Cheshbon Erev Boker Alpayim Shloshmeos Miyoyim Redes. Let's make the calculation of the 2,874 years. Miyoyim Redes Yisro Limitzrayim Lios Kolod, so that it will come to the end with Saith Elef 1,000 V'Reish Sad Yom 1,290 days from Shehusra Tamit. Here we go. Let's make the calculation. Reish Yud 210 years. Chayu B'Mitzrayim. Okay, so 210 years Jewish people were, they went down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, they were there for two Redu Shama. 210 years. Then how long from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim until the time of the Blig Beis HaMikdash was how much? Was 480 years. The Yemtseisam Ad Vayivin HaBayis. How long was the Bayis Rishon for? Dalid Meos, the Yud, the Bayis Rishon was 410 years. Okay, 410 Hoya Bayis. How long was the Churban between the Bayis Rishon Golus? 70 years. The Ayin Shana 70 years. Golus Bavel. And how long was the Bayis Sheni? So it's 420 minus 6. Right, the Dalad Meos, the Chof. So right now Rashi, for the moment, is going to round, make it easy to make the number, to round it off, 420. We'll minus the 6 later. We'll deduce the 6 later, 420. So Tain, Alehem, it to them, Elef, 1,290. Shalkeitz Haimin, that's mentioned in the end of Sefer Danielim Perek Yudbeis. What's the total? Hare Alpayim, 2,000. Vechess Meos, and 800. Minus from that 6, say mehen vav shanim, take away vav shanim, shalusra atamid, lefnei achorben, shleimon akosef, shleimon akosef. What do we left? Shleimon akosef, elef reish tzadi, elo lemeis chusra atamid, because we're not going to include those 6 years, because the pasuk is very explicit that we're counting from the time, not of the churban bias, but from the time that the Talmud came to an end, harid rocheshben, erev voger, that comes out to exactly 2,874 years. Now that takes us to what year? That takes us to the year 1354. Oy noisif b'cheshbon, heir to the years, Ashre Hamechake, fortunate the one who yearns, v'yegia leketz hayomim, mem hei shana yisarim, another 54 years, 45. Another 45 years, al elef, on 1,000 v'reish tzadi, add to this number, of 1,290, an additional 45 years, yesh loimer, al cheshbon rishon. That's, what does that mean? So Rashi explains, I mean, just running through the words very, very, very quickly, Yotza HaMelech HaMashiach, he will appear, V'yachzor V'yischase, he will disappear, Mehem Osam Mem Heshanim. Fascinating. Melech HaMashiach will appear, and will disappear for 45 years. Why? I don't know, I have no idea. I do not know why. And guess how, you know how we know this? It's in the Piyutim. The Rebbe Eliezer HaKalir. The famous Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, also the kinnas that we see on Tisha B'Av, come from Eliezer HaKalir, Yosad, B'Yisoid Shiroi, Shavuayim Shisha. How do we know this? Now here's a very strange what he says, because he says in the Yoitzer of the Parshas HaChodesh, he says the number 42, he doesn't say 45. He says the number 42. He says Shavuayim Shisha. Shavuayim means weeks. Seven weeks multiplied by 6. 7 times 6 is 42. So how do you get 45? Harei Membeis. V'yeish lemer ha-gimel shanim sh'loi bo l'cheshben shavua loi mona. He was the Kalir when he described the coming of Moshiach, and he made mention to this in the Piyut on the Yoitza on Shabbos HaChodesh, that there will be a gap of 42 years where the Melech HaMashiach will disappear. He approximated, he was poetic, and he said it's going to be in multiples of 7, so the closest multiple of 7 to the number 45 is 42, 6 multiples of Shemitah, 42, but the truth is it's really 45, and the way we know that it's 45 according to Rashi is because you have to take into consideration what we've learned last week in Perek Zion, that there's a number called 1,335. And if the number 1,335 cannot be ignored, we have to interpret it in connection with the number 1,290 in Perek Yud Beis. The difference between the two is 45, which means the Gula will begin in the year 1,290 since the Bittul HaTamid, and then for the next 45 years the Melech HaMashiach will disappear. There will be a process of Gula, and then he will reappear. And that's really what the Kaliya refers to in the Piyut, that there will be a multiple of 7 times 6, where the Melech HaMashiach will disappear. And he says it's in the Medrash Perush Medrash in Rus, he will disappear. He will disappear for 45 years after he appears. The Medri Rayim and Amikros Halal, and he brings reference to these because in order to make the calculation, the 1,335 plus the number 1290. So that concludes the Rash. Let's review. Okay, so let's review. All you got to remember, you can learn the Neil. It's not so complicated, according to Rashi. Someone says to you, did you learn the Neil? Do you know the calculation, the Ketz HaMashiach? You say, according to Rashi, right, everyone's Rashi is the Yikar. Mashiach already came. He came in the year 1354 and he came again. The second coming came in the year 1399. Because all you have to know for Sefer Daniel are 3 magic numbers. Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, and Perek Yud Beis. Perek Zayin, it says 1,335. We learned that last week. Here it says, in this, it says here, Erev Boker Alpai Mushlosh Mils. 2,300 plus the Gematria of Erev and Boker, 574. Number 2,874. That's the second number. What's the third number? Third number is in Perek Yud Beis, 1,290. What else do you have to know? You have to know that the Churban happened, the Talmud came to an end 6 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Not everyone knows that. Yes, the average Kin Yeshiva, how long was the Bayis Sheni? The Bayis Sheni was 420 years. Everyone knows that. When was the Talmud bottle? It doesn't say anywhere. All we know was that the Talmud was bottled in Shalos HaMatamos. If you ask the average person like me, I thought, well, when was it? It was that year. It was bottled that year, the year of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the year 420, the Shavuos HaMatamos, 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av is when the Talmud came to an end. No, that's wrong. It happened 6 years before. We commemorate Shavuos, and we think that, like, oh, it's all happening, it's a process. It starts Asar B'Teves, is when Yerushalayim was besieged. It's a process. The 4 fast days. The 4 fast days are Asar B'Teves, and then comes Shavuos HaBetamos, then is Tisha B'Av, and then is Tzom Gedalia. It's a process. Tisha B'Av is not the end. Tzom Gedalia is the very end. But it didn't. But if you don't know the facts, you'd be misled to believe everything happened in a single year. That's not true. It was 6 years before the Churban Bayis when the Talmud was bottled. Okay, what else do we have to know? There's only one more thing we need to know. 45 years between the first coming of Mashiach and his reappearance. That's it. I think how many pieces of data was that? 5 pieces of data? 3 numbers? The Talmud was bottled 6 years before the Churban, and 45 years of disappearance. Those are the 5 givens. The 5 pieces of data. And by the way, 6 years before, it doesn't say anywhere. Rashi is making this calculation on his own. And as far as the 45 years, Rashi quotes a Medrash in Rus. I'm not even sure we have this Medrash. That says it's 45 years, and the Kaliya says 42 years. So Rashi says, in order to make the numbers work out, we're going to have to assume it's really 45, and the 3, the Kaliya would just, he rounded it down to the nearest number that's divisible by 7. Because he was being poetic in referring to a Shemitah. So now that we have those 5 pieces of data, what do? We put everything together. We know that they all synchronized according to Rashi. They perfectly work out together. From the time, let's take the number 1,290 from the time the Talmud came to an end, 6 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Go forward 1,290 years, takes you to the secular year, the Bayis, that's the year 64, takes you to the year 1354, that's the number 1290, that's when Mashiach was supposed to come according to Rashi. Then he would disappear for 45 years and come back 45 years later, in the year 1399, which is the number 1335. This number, 1335, happens to be exactly 2000. I'm sorry, I think it was the first number. I have to be able to go over the numbers again. But one of these two numbers, either the first coming or the second, it's the first coming of 1290 is exactly 2874 from the time that Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, from the first Golus. We take all the numbers of Golus of 210, 480, 410, 74, 420 minus 6, plus this number 1290, you get exactly 2874, the number that appears here, 2300 plus the gematria of Erev Ubaiker.
What was Shabsai's name?
But Shabsai Tzvi was way in the, what is it, 16th century or 17th century? When was Shabsai Tzvi? What? 17th century, yeah. Recent times, like yesterday, yeah.
There was a tremendous amount of people that followed it. That moved.
That's right, because...
And here, Rashi, the subject going... Nothing happened, I guess.
They were... we have to study the times. You have to study the times. Shabsai Tzvi, there are a lot of scholars that have a book. I mean, the libraries to understand his technique. His bipolar, they say. His bipolar. Shabsai Tzvi. We find even today people that are bipolar, they have incredible talents. Superhuman talents. Superhuman koichos. Who are bipolar. He had ups and downs. In retrospect, look back, hindsight, he was a meshugana. But at the time,
they
was able...
They didn't diagnose him.
That's part of it. See, today he probably couldn't get away with it, because today right away he'll be diagnosed. We're very much aware, we know what it's all about. In those days, did people really know what it meant to be bipolar? I know someone, Rahman al-Islam, who when he's on a high. He's like, wow. His eyes are flashing. And like, you get a taste of what a person like is, like a superhuman. And his spurts, very short, Baruch Hashem. And now, Baruch Hashem, he's heavily medicated. And he's Baruch Hashem, he's fine. He's totally functional. But if he goes off his medication... It's pikuach nefesh, mamish. But you get, I got a taste from when I experience when, like, you know, talking very quickly, eyes beaming, and if you have if you're naturally brilliant and you have a certain talents, it just enhances those talents, and you can really if you can sustain it for a long period of time, you can really fool a lot of people into believing that you're Melech HaMashiach. And people were extremely desperate. It was great depression, desperation. So he was able to pull it off. Look at the storm, Sandy. It was the perfect storm. So many different things came together to create the perfect storm. Incredible hashgach, all the different things. Shabsai Tzvi, all the factors came together where he was able to take advantage of all of the different things that were happening at the time, including his own situation, to succeed.
He took advantage, but he probably believed
it. I know he took advantage. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he still does. He still, even after he converted to Islam, he still believed. And there are people ad hayom hazeh that still believe he's Mashiach. There are people. That was all part of the process of converting to Islam. It's all part of the process.
Anything about the time that he says Rashi or?
I don't know. I don't. I'm not familiar with. I'm not familiar with the Shabsai Tzvi.
How do we put this?
I never studied him in depth.
How do we put this all in perspective? I mean, Daniel was not even a Navi, we said, right? And yet
he has his vision. That's the age-old question. So what is Hashem over here showing him? Things that he did not show. He did not show to the greatest Nevi'im. We don't find the Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't find that Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu when Mashiach is coming.
Exactly, right.
So who says it's something that's so important to know? I mean, what, is it... is it necessary to know the Ketz? First of all, there's a much debate if Daniel himself actually knew the interpretation. He's seeing these things, he's seeing these numbers, but does he understand what the interpretation is? So that's debated by the Mefarshim, if he knew exactly when Mashiach would come. Some say yes, some say not. Also, who says this is in the form of Nevuah? This is a form of what's called Ruach HaKodesh. A person can know the Mashiach through the concept of Ruach HaKodesh. You don't necessarily need to come on to prophecy. We don't know what these things are, so to us it doesn't make a difference. Yeah.
If we're talking about numbers.
Yeah.
If you take today's date minus 1399, gives you 613.
Mm. Today's date.
If we go back 45 years.
Let's see, Basher, that we're learning this today.
Yeah. If you go back 45 years, it's 1967, mm-hmm. which is the year of your
the reader, wow.
Just if we're talking about it.
So this goes to show that we're on the mark.
It's the Mayan calendar.
I think
ends this year.
But we don't know. It's Rashi on the Gregorian or Roman calendar.
There was no Gregorian calendar then.
Sure.
Oh, right, Rashi, right, I'm sorry, right, Rashi is this 10
a.m.
Well, doesn't matter, Rashi is giving us numbers, it doesn't matter, we can look, as long as we're dealing in the common era, then we can pretty much, we can before the common era, there are missing years.
But on the common era,
yeah.
Is it the common era based on the old Russian calendar?
Rashi's not discussed at all together. Rashi, we're just dealing with numbers. We're dealing with numbers. We know that in our calculation today,
absolute numbers in a vacuum.
We know that the Chumash was the year 70. So we're pretty confident that it's the year 70, we can go forward to the year 2012. So we can work with those numbers. We're not... I don't think people feel threatened with that. With those numbers, they're missing. Going back into the time of the bias earlier than the year 70. Once you get there, is no year zero as far as I know. Right, we go from the year minus one to the year one. Right. The year zero somehow didn't exist. Like, but then already you're getting into an area where you're getting into an area where. Years disappear, come and go.
The Gemara talks about
this? No. The Gemara. We use this Hebrew years. Okay, I don't know the details, but Rav Schwab is very big into the numbers. There's a problem. Our years, the Hebrew calendar, our record of what happened in the Hebrew calendar does not agree with the secular dates. There's a discrepancy. So, how do you resolve the discrepancy? That's a separate issue. I don't know anything about it. It has to be dealt with. Maybe one time we'll come across. We'll learn more about it. But I think this is a very this is a solid. We're concluded a very important point, and we're going to talk more. We're going to go over more. I'll tell you some interesting things later on about Elchanan Wasserman, what he said about our generation about 1930. You can make this calculation. I will tell it to you now. But I just want to. Before we conclude, I just want to make sure that we got this clear, because we're not going to do this again. We're now going to go to the next pasuk. This is a very critical thing to understand. What we'll call the five basic facts. If you learn Sefer Daniel, you learn about the numbers. These are five critical numbers. What we learned in Perek Zion, 1,335. What we learned over here in Perek Ches, according to Rashi, 2,300 plus the Gemach of Erev Aboker, which is 2,874. And what it says in Perek Yud Beis, 1,290. And according to that, those are the three major numbers. And then the two givens, the two important pieces of information that we have to know, that the Churban, the Talmud, came to an end 6 years before the Churban Bayesheni. Doesn't say that anywhere. That's a big mystery. And Rashi is making that assumption based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk really says that the Talmud will be both for Chatzi Shavua, half of 7 years. And Rashi says Chatzi is not to be translated precisely as half, but rather part, and the larger part, 6 years. And the other very critical piece of information is that Mashiach is going to be 45 years between the coming of Mashiach and his return. He will appear and disappear. It says this supposedly in the Medrash in Rus, Rashi tells us, and it says this, the Kalir alludes to this, but he rounds down the number to the number 42. Then Rashi, Lishitosoi, and again going to Rashi, synchronizes everything that we've just said. Everything works out perfectly. Between the year, the number 1290 and 1335 are exactly 45 years, the first coming and the second coming. That number is exactly from the time when the Talmud came to an end, which was 6 years before the Churban Bayit Sheni, which takes us to the year 1354 and 1399. And this is also exactly, the year 1354 is exactly 2,874 years from when? The time that Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, and coming up in the next coming parshios, when there was a Rav in Canaan, and Yaakov says, Yeshev leMitzrayim, Rudu Shama, went down there for 210 years. So it all works out. The only problem is, Mashiach didn't come. That's the only problem. So how do you recap? Let me just tell you something very interesting, which we'll review later on. We'll do it, and that is Rav Chanan Wasserman said the year 2000. Take it says here 2,300. 2,300 from when was this nevuah said? And Rav Chanan Wasserman doesn't go like Rashi, is not following Rashi Erev Boker. He just takes the number 2,300. This nevuah was said 52 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon, 18 years before the building of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, we're going to go over this and we're going to do it later on, because I have the numbers in my other center. I have the number over in the back of the, I left my thing on the back table, but I don't need it now. And he says, you make the calculation, come, if you take 2,300 years from when the Nebuah was said, it comes out to the year 1929-1930.
Depression,
exactly. And what happened during the Depression? What happened? Who rose to power? Hitler came to power in the year 1933. But in the year 1930 is when his party, the Nazi party, won the majority in parliament. 37%. The Nazi party rose to prominence, became the majority party. They didn't have a majority problem, but it became the largest party. There was only minorities. There was no one had a majority. But it was the largest party in Germany in the year 1930 under the leadership of Hitler. He rose to power. Erev, that was the Erev, the darkest time, the Erev before the Boker. So Rav Chanan Wasserman, he interprets besides, I mean, like every generation, there are many layers of interpretation. And then he's going to interpret the psukim we're going to have later on. Mamash referring to Hitler. Yimach Shemo, and the psukim we have later on. Rashi interprets everything we're referring to Churban Bayis Rishon. Titus HaRasha was the Hitler of the Bayis Sheni. He was the Hitler of Bayis Sheni. But again, everything, there are many layers of interpretation. 2,300 from the time it was said. 1930, the Great Depression. The rise of the Nazi Party. Okay, let's stop here.